Hi, and welcome back to a currently unnamed film podcast. Today we're going to be discussing Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I'm Jessica.
I'm Hanma.
I'm Space. And that was a good movie, wasn't it? Okay, this time, are we actually going to summarize it? I think we should.
Okay.
I don't want to summarize because I still have no idea what happened.
That's completely valid. When Clementine and Joel are in a relationship and Clementine goes to a company that has the power to remove people from other people's memories or specific instances. And when Joel finds the letter basically saying, like, you've been removed from Clementine's memory, don't go speak to her, he decides to kind of like revenge, get his memory erased of her, I don't know why I'm struggling so much with this.
Yeah.
And you just watch the adventure through both the outside as this group of teenagers tries to figure out how to erase someone's memory, which is slightly concerning. And Joel is whisked through his own memory in a series of very creative film choices. Yes, that's it. And you basically learn that, you know, there's a value to experience because you get like life lessons out of it.
And also he like still loves Clementine. And so he, so like halfway through, he's like during the memory wiping process, it's like taking him through all of his like memories, and Clementine is in each of them because it's like only going to the memories with her.
Yeah.
So then he like realizes that like he still loves her, and then he like tries to hide her.
I don't know if I would say he still loves her, but I think it's he values the relationship wasn't all bad. It was being overshadowed by the ending.
Okay, good,
the relationship like repeats itself at the end.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure the end of the movie was like literally the beginning of the movie, right?
Yeah. Yes. No, I was really confused.
Tell
until
by the hair colours.
Yeah.
Clementine hair.
Yeah, no, because she changed her hair colour so much I lost track the whole time of
it
which.
It goes from green to pinkish red to orange to blue.
Yeah.
And it's like the seasons. So it starts with spring, summer, autumn, winter.
Wait, but is the start of the movie suggesting that like does Clementine wipe her wine twice, or is the start of the movie literally we're just seeing what happens at the end?
Yeah,
we're literally just seeing what happens at the end.
It jumps back in time and then it shows the whole thing.
The scene literally happens twice with I've forgotten his name, the Hobbit, knocking on the window.
I was so confused because I thought because at the beginning it was all sort of
Elijah
ugly, like depth of field, and there was like no color grading, and then he was having this whole like relationship with the woman, and then suddenly this guy came to his window and he was like, do you need any help? And then the next thing, it was like really shallow depth of field and it was all color graded and he was crying, and I thought it was meant to be that he was schizophrenic or something, and then I just thought that for the whole film until the end.
I knew that the movie was vaguely about like memories or something.
This is my second time watching it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so I think I will say this is entirely better on a second watch, and the script is incredibly smart. It's Charlie Kaufman. I don't know if you guys
I've heard of him before.
Know who that is? I'm thinking of Ending Things as one of his most recent movies.
Yeah.
Did he do Ender's Game?
No, he didn't. It just sounded slightly similar.
Everything back to Ender's Game.
Everything.
For no reason.
I like Ender's Game.
Everything's a simulation.
That is not the plot of Ender's Game. But
it turns out to be real at the end, doesn't it? You summarize this. If I get it wrong, you're bad at summarizing.
Did he summarize it for you as well?
Yes.
Everybody needs a summary of Ender's Game.
Did you hear that the sequel's homophobic?
In what sense?
I just saw that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Post on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean the author is.
That's lovely.
In the sequel, I didn't catch anything.
I didn't catch anything.
I think it was it was the putting a value onto like the desire to have children, and that is the end goal in life. Was what people came out with from that book. I'm totally getting this secondhand. Probably need to read it to make any kind of poignant criticism on it. Okay, back to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is an incredibly pretentious name.
Do you think so? Oh, wait, what was that poem? I wanted to listen back to that poem.
It's by Alexander Pope, and the line that included Eternal Sunshine was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, each prayer accepted and each wish resigned.
Wait, what? You can't start on that line. Wait, she said two lines before that, though, right?
She did say two lines before that. I didn't write them down. I don't remember them.
Okay. Wait, say that one more time.
Sorry, that was a dramatic book opening for anyone who's listening and not watching because you don't have any video. I need to stop doing actions during the podcast. Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind, each prayer accepted and each wish resigned.
Each prayer accepted and each wish resigned.
Yes, and it's by Alexander Pope from Eloisa the Ablard, which is a poetry book.
What does that mean? What does that line mean?
I think it's saying that, like, if you don't have any wishes, then, like, the clear mind of someone who isn't wanting anything, isn't moving in any direction, is eternally happy because all their, like, prayers have been answered because they are in the state that they are, but they, or, like, their wishes are not going anywhere. It's just, like, being still and being happy in that stillness, but is that, like, is that an acceptable way to live because your mind's clear, there's no ambition there?
Mm.
If that made any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't... I guess that's a way of viewing, like, the memory wiping. Like, I don't know. It seems more like you're just trying to erase pain. But I guess that pain comes from, like, wanting the relationship back or, like, really missing them. So then by erasing the memory, you're, like, removing that ambition of wanting them back. Then you can be happy. But I don't know.
It was, like, in reference to this movie, it's, like, if... I guess it's, like, happiness and ignorance. And, like, if you erase someone, you haven't learned anything from the experience, your mind is clear.
Mm.
But is that an okay way to live because you're not moving?
Yeah. But I mean, Thingy doesn't even seem that happy. Clementine does not seem
happy. Yeah, she seems very depressed.
Yeah.
What do you think of them at the end when they just decide to go through it all over again?
I think it was both, it was echoing Mary's relationship with Howl, I think his name was.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, 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 no, I remember.
Like, she breaks free, but she did the relationship again by accident as well.
Mm.
I think it's just emphasizing the fact that they're just going to do the same thing again. And I think there is an optimistic way to look at that ending. But I personally thought that they were just going to break up at the end of it again. And there was an acceptance between the two of them of, like, you're going to view me this way at the end of this relationship. You know that, right? And they're both like, yep, let's do it anyway because I'm deeply in love. I didn't learn any lessons from this.
Huh. Do you think they're a bad couple?
Yes.
I didn't buy it at the beginning, but, like, seeing all the memories, like, I bought it more.
See,
and more.
That's what's really interesting about this movie is it before the idea had fell out of favor, it plays with the idea of the manic pixie dream girl, which I think is an idea everyone's familiar with. No? Yes? Anna's face?
I'm like Star from Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Yeah, it's the idea of, like, this girl who's, like, slightly naive and so excited with life and, like, comes in and, like, whips this man out of his boring day job or whatever. She's completely imaginary and she has no wants or needs for herself. She just exists to, like, please a man. I think it's the opposite of fridging a bit. So instead of, like, a woman dying for a man, it's a woman purely living for a man. I just introduced another concept you don't know anything about to explain another one you don't know anything about.
I was wondering if you're pulling out a definition of fridging.
No, fridging. Sorry, fridging. No. I just have a ton of notes on this movie. Can you do that in the mic?
Us too. Yeah. We wrote tons of notes.
Yeah. I decided I was going to be like a proper film critic and write notes.
Yeah. I mean, I was tempted. I was going to do it afterwards and then, yeah. I was also, yeah, I was like tempted between looking up like it's Wikipedia, but I was like, maybe I should let my interpretation be a bit more pure.
Yeah, I think it's because it was my second time watching the movie, so I was like, maybe I should analyze this. Also, it was like 10:30 at night and I was exhausted,
yeah,
which is kind of sad. But
what, like while you were watching it?
No, I was sad whilst watching it. I'm just saying it's sad I was tired at 10:30.
No, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, so what did you think when Mary like goes up to David and like kisses him and then like the wife is like, you have to tell her David, his name's David, right? The cop?
Howl.
The doctor? Howl.
Where did you get Howl? David from?
Maybe I'm thinking...
Is that one of the teenagers?
One of the actors is played by David Cross, who is in Community. That's what
I just know. I saw Mark Ruffalo.
Wait.
Did you not notice it? You better have noticed it. The Incredible Hulk. And Elijah Wood was there.
Yeah.
And Chris Kirsten Dunst, which whose name I always get wrong. It was like a little Marvel crossover with those two.
I don't know any of these people. Who do they play?
Kirsten Dunst played Mary Jane in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
Oh, was that Mary? I mean, Mary here in this movie.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh my God, I just noticed her two names are Mary.
Yeah.
I thought you were just referring to MJ and Mary. And I was like, that's never been done before. Totally original.
No. Yeah, now I can see it now. Did not see it during the film.
I mean, I hope you can see it. They're exactly the same person.
Yeah, but one of them has red hair and one of them has blonde hair, so...
Yeah, did you get confused by Clementine's constantly changing hair, if that's you're recognising people?
Well, no, but I got very confused at one point when we see Hal's home, and he's, like, on the phone, and he's in bed with his wife, and then the camera just goes over to his wife, and then we just see her for, like, a few seconds, and I was like... It's Clementine. What? He's dating Clementine.
No, look like Kate Winslet.
She had slightly like reddish hair. And I was like, oh my God.
Every ginger's the same person.
I was like, what is happening in this film? Like, what is about to happen? And then I tell Hanma and he's like, what? No, it didn't look like her. And then we like go back. And then, I like resign my opinion.
But I was confused when, you know, when the wife came to the house when her husband was kissing Mary, or whatever she's called. Was there any explanation for why she rocked up at the house?
Because I think the affair had happened before. So when he suddenly disappeared in the middle of the night for work-related reasons, heavy air quotes around that, she also followed him because she thought, that's definitely going to happen, and it did.
I was amazed at how chill, I don't know what to call him,
Mark, I just call him Mark.
Is he called Mark? No, I mean the computer guy.
Calling him Mark because Mark Ruffalo. Okay. I don't know who that is.
Okay, yeah. I was amazed at how chill Mark was at having the
affair. He was like protecting his girlfriend.
They seemed like that kind of a playoff, like, I guess, hippie culture. Like these two teenagers who are like, oh my God, Hal is really changing the world. Was really, really high and totally okay with like a polyamorous relationship.
Mark.
I think they were. Yeah. Okay. I think they were very like, kind of new age couple was what Charlie Kaufman was trying to mock a little bit because they were like really into being like emotionally open and yet they were doing memory procedures on people and dancing whilst high
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, so like part of the thing that keeps reminding Joel that he's like his memory is being wiped is that he can keep hearing their voices from the real world, right?
Yeah.
If they had been doing their job properly and they were quiet the whole time, would he have like not known that he was getting eternal sunshine?
I don't think that's what it's called.
It is now. That's from Rick and Morty.
I think he would have, because he noticed it throughout the movie. He is aware. It's like lucid dreaming a bit. Like he's aware he's getting his memory erased because he can physically see the memories being erased.
But surely that would happen for everyone else who it happened to.
Yeah.
But then why does it work so well with everyone else?
I think not many other people realize during the procedure that this is happening. I did find that a little bit weird that he was the only person who hadn't actively tried to stop the memories disappearing.
Mm. Did he try to stop... Did he realize it was happening after he changed his mind? It was before, right?
No, he realized before because they're having the argument and he goes like, I'm erasing you and I'm happy about it.
Yeah,
like,
so,
this is all going to be gone by the morning.
Yeah, yeah. So if they just weren't like drunk and like if they'd just been mostly quiet or like even whispered or anything, like surely...
Because the first memory that gets erased or he sees from his perspective is him getting prepared to have his memory erased.
Oh.
So I think he would have always been aware of it.
Do the memories that get erased, are they not just forgotten? Like,
no, I think from... Because he does, he maintains his experience of those memories as they're being erased. I think it's like during this experience, you remember everything that happened to you, but then at the end of it, it's erased. So it's like a little part of the experience. Like they said it would be like waking up from a dream. So I think it's like you go to sleep, you have a dream. You don't remember that dream in the morning.
Yeah. I remember thinking at the beginning of the movie, like... I was like really intrigued that it was literally just him like waking up, but he was like rubbing his eyes like really hard and like, you know, it seemed like super. And I was like, I am invested in why he's like so tired. Yeah. Like, why is he rubbing his eyes and like stretching so much in the morning? Yeah. And that impulsive thing to Montauk, that was so fun. Like when you like got on the train and just barely made it through the door. Like I was so intrigued from like, that was like 30 seconds into the film or whatever.
The opening sequence of this movie is really, really amazing. Mm. Like, within the first 5 minutes, it's introduced all the main concepts of the movie, because it already talks about, like, forgetting that he hasn't written, because I didn't remember what was happening in this movie. I didn't remember the framing device. Yeah. So my first notes on this were, has this happened before?
Yeah.
Like, is there an implication that the procedure has happened before? And I thought that it was just like a clever thing. I was like, no, that is just the framing device.
Wait, so he has never wiped his memory before?
No, this is the first time. Okay. I thought that the beginning of this movie was an implication that it had happened before.
Yeah.
But it was just the framing device and I had forgotten that.
It was just the end of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Copied to the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, because he wakes up at the beginning from having the procedure done.
Yeah.
But it was hard to tell when it jumped forward and back in time.
I think...
you meant to tell from her hair colour, but...
Tell by hair colour, tell by colour grading, tell by, like, performance.
Yeah.
I didn't find it that...
Yeah, I didn't find it that confusing either. Like, she had, like, red hair during the memories and, like, blue hair when she was hanging out. And, like, the bits that were happening in real life were with the slimy guy.
The teenagers. I don't think they're Patrick. Actually teenagers. Yeah. I'm quoting those teenagers.
Yeah, I was like, teenagers when you first said it, but...
Okay, sorry, young adults, adolescents.
They're like 23. Yeah, they should not have the authority to use that technology.
But they were such good antagonists.
Like, yeah.
They were so funny. I gotta admit, I really hated them the first time I watched this movie. Really enjoyed them the second time through. Because they are quite a bit of levity. They're so stupid.
Yeah, but it's like the perfect antagonist being not only sort of sad losers who are like nerds at erasing people's memories, but also the antagonists have been hired by the main character.
Yeah. The fact that... Sorry. Gonna cough. Did that come through the mic? Yeah, probably.
Charlie cough, but I get it. Yeah, sorry.
Oh my god.
These people give
so
me too
bad.
Much credit. Keep going.
Is this like revenge for all of the space puns?
Nope, it's not. I choose to Eternal Sunshine them from my mind at every second that you're not talking about them.
It's kind of sad. It's like 90% of our talks like experiences with each other.
To me, it is not. It is 0% until right now. And until
we've known it for the 5 minutes at this point.
Yeah, I want to hire some antagonists. It's such a fun framing device for your antagonists. And they just want to do the job well, but like the client just can't tell them no because he's asleep. Like it's genius. It's amazing.
Yeah. Also, Patrick? Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
Like stealing his life?
Yeah, that was such a cool subplot. It was awful.
It was good, but it was just such an awful thing to do. And he was like looking through the letter to find out exactly what he said. Awful, terrible.
Yeah.
I like the foreshadowing when they're on the lake and saying, oh, it's really solid, it's not gonna crack. And the first shot you see of them from above is them laying down the ice with a massive crack next to them.
Oh yeah, I did notice that, but I did not think something of it. Was there something of it? What did it mean?
Well, it was after the procedure, so maybe it was showing their past, or it was showing that like the relationship wasn't reliable in the way of like, oh, this is gonna last, I'm gonna marry you. Mm. And it always falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so worried when they got on the ice.
Yeah.
Because whenever someone's gonna, like
Amy,
it's not gonna break, it's not gonna break. It always breaks.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like a Little Woman moment.
Yeah. I was like really anxious until the like goofy derpy music started playing. Like,
the score in this is fantastic.
It's such a weird score.
It's like, so good. It like switched between like this fantasy, like kind of sweepy music, and it's like really like glitchy, like everything's falling apart, like almost serialist.
Yeah, I kind of don't actually remember the score apart from like the initial like very strange like doopy doop thing. Like, it's so weird. I gotta listen to it again.
Doopy doop.
I remember one of the first times I was like really confused or like intrigued. I wasn't like confused about the movie, but like confused within the movie was when he's like, oh yeah, the first time I met Clem was when I went to like this party with these other people. And like, we'd literally seen him meet Clementine for the first time.
I think it's supposed to throw you off. You'll just be like, what just happened?
Okay, but yeah. Wait, can you explain it? What happens?
Oh, because
like,
I'm guessing he's explaining from before he got Eternal Sunshine.
The entire plot of the movie, if you break it down, it starts with her having green hair because it's like new beginning spring. They meet at a party that his roommate slash like I guess friends with benefits
yeah
invited him to, they break into a house, and he runs off before, because he gets scared that they're going to get caught. He goes back to the bookshop, her hair has changed, and she's like, you know, I'm not a manic pixie dream girl, I'm not going to fix all your problems. And he's like, I continued thinking that anyway, which is such an interesting scene.
Wait, what do you mean back to the bookshop?
He goes to the bookshop.
What do you mean back?
Sorry. At that point in the movie, we've been there like four times.
I thought you said you're starting from the beginning.
I am sorry. I used the word back as a mistake space.
I was confused.
I think, yeah, I don't think he's been there before.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. He finds her at the bookshop. They get into the relationship. It falls apart. They have the memory wipe procedure. She has the memory wipe procedure. He then goes to the bookshop with a present. And is like, why don't you know me? Why are you kissing Patrick? There was some really horror-esque imagery in this. You know, he's trying to turn her around. It's just the head again.
That was so cool. I love that.
And then you see, like, the blue head plot of the movie where they meet up again on a train, because in his, the last thing that his memory version of Clementine said to him was like, meet me at this place.
Mm.
And I think he like echoes it in his like emotions. Yeah. I think she did the same. I think that's the hint that like she also had the same experience with her memory wipe, which does kind of, I think that's the only plot hole I don't like, that he is the only one to have done this, or this is like an anomaly.
Mm.
What, to like try and escape it,
yeah.
Why?
Because I think it goes against the message of the movie.
Does it? Maybe. Does it?
Because it's hinted at that Clementine did the same thing later in the movie, but it's not enforced by the dialogue.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, aren't all protagonists just, like, different from all the other people in their world for, like, whatever reason?
I think the point of him that he isn't, right?
Really? Because, like...
he's just, like, a regular guy.
That's true.
It's just, like, a regular relationship.
Was his writing stuff or his drawing stuff, was that, like, important? Did I, like, miss, like, a... Because that's, like, his main character trait, right? He was, like, quiet and, like, he drew and wrote stuff.
Yeah, like, depressive tendencies.
Yeah, but what that was... There's a bit when he finds the drawing he did of her at the end.
Yeah, it's always... The only time where any of his drawings have colour is when he's with Clementine.
Oh, that's cool.
Or when they're of Clementine.
Mm.
That's
nice. That's a cool detail. But okay. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. But maybe everybody else does it. But like their memory wiping people pay attention more. Or like they're less drunk.
But it's hinted at that. Is his name David? Daniel? Is it Daniel?
Who?
The Mark wiper. Ruffalo's character.
Just call him Mark.
It's hinted that it's like Mark's our top specialist. Like he has to have done this more than once.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. But he didn't do it for Mary, he said.
No. I imagine that's so disturbing. That why was Mary the one whose memory was wiped of it? Why wasn't also Howells?
Maybe it's just because he's the big boss and he doesn't know.
Yeah, it just seemed like when you hear the tape and she's like, I'm not sure of this, I don't want to go through with it, and he's like, we decided this together that this would be the best option. Yeah. Like, oh no, there's a power dynamic going on here that is not healthy.
Yeah,
that came off very, very weird. I mean, I think it was supposed to.
Did you remember that Mary was going to kiss Hal before it happened?
No, I forgot Kirsten Dunst was in this movie.
Who's Kirsten Douglas?
Kirsten Dunst. Mary Jane. Mary. The one we've been discussing previously.
Total Sunshine every 5 minutes.
Space's memory just resets. Yeah. You're just constantly living memento.
Yeah. I was thinking at the beginning.
She just did it again.
You know how like when you're shooting camera monthly and like somebody's hand is like there and then you like change the shot and then hopefully their hand is in the same position or something, right? Like small things like that.
Continuity.
When they're still talking. Yeah. I kept noticing that like it kept not happening.
I think it was on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. At first I was like, ew, and then I was like, oh.
There's incorrect like bits in his memories. And I think that plays into the fact that Clementine in the real world and in the real memories. His name is Stan.
Dan. Why would the 30-year-old
I thought his name was Dan.
Stan.
I really thought his name was Dan. I think... Oh, what, sorry, not in front of the microphone.
Surely...
I thought his name was Dan.
Surely, like, 20, 30-year-olds are never called Stan.
Well, you have to name, like, It's like, who names their child Steve? Because there are adults named Steve, but like baby yeah. Steve. That's maybe so
they
awful.
Just transition from being Steven when they're
or like Stevie. Baby.
Yeah,
you can't transition from Stevie to Stan.
Well, you can transition from someone, Stanley to Stan.
You know, I mean, like, I knew someone. I knew someone called, his name was Michael, but he, as a child, was always called Mikey. And then he tried to, like, be an adult and, like, I'm Mike now. And no one followed it. Oh. They just continued calling him Mikey because they've known him 9 years. So. Wow.
Wait, 9 years? Yeah. It's very specific.
It's a very specific amount of time. As it was the amount of time.
Okay. How far in kilometers does Mikey live from us?
I don't know.
Miles?
No, his name was Mikey.
No, I don't.
So what did you think of the...
Sorry, that was such a bad joke.
Oh. Oh, okay. No, sorry. Kudos. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. I didn't realise. Nice.
I always make jokes like that and then people just continue speaking.
Anyway. Yeah.
What did you think of the... the colours and the look and like the filming of the movie?
I really liked it. I think it was good. I didn't think it was anything like... I liked the colour grading of the memories. I liked how like the modern day kind of looked like an overcast day. Mm. Like that was kind of the vibe I got from the colour grading. Yeah. I think maybe the only downside of that is at the beginning of the movie, because it is in the present day, makes it look like that's going to be the entirety of the movie.
Yeah, I was sort of disappointed, I guess, what I saw. Because I didn't really like the look of the first scene, although it was probably my favourite one to watch, partly because it was the only one I understood at the time of watching. but no, it was fun, but I didn't like the look of it. But I did like the ones where, do you remember when he was like driving and he was crying like immediately afterwards?
Yeah.
And the background was like really, really blurry and it was all blue. And there were some bits which happened on the street at night where it was all kind of golden black.
Oh, that one shot of him walking that way and then the shops all flip and he walks back.
Yeah.
And then all the things disappear. There was an episode of like VFX guys react where they explained how they did that shot. I don't remember the answer, but I do suggest people go watch that video. it was done like semi-practically. A lot of this movie was done practically.
Mm. But the, because they tilt up and then like focus on the,
oh,
on the top of the roof or something. And
yes,
so presumably
no, there's a street light, there's a street lamp in the middle of the shot that isn't there. And it's CGI so that they can stitch two shots together.
Mm.
So it's literally just a flip shot of him just walking up the street again.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the shop, like, street signs are just CGI'd out, I think, for the last bit.
Can I say something that I thought was, like, potentially, like, kind of disappointing? Like, I was, like, terrified during the main middle of the movie that, like, he just failed to hide Clem and, like, his memories of her would just be wiped. And like in the middle of the movie, I had to like go to my room and come back. So I had like a minute to think like, and I was like, I don't know how this movie is going to end. And like, I would buy if he just like completely forgot Clementine and would never remember her again. And so I was kind of sad when like he did in fact fail his mission to like hide her from the memory thingies, but then he still got to like have a relationship with her.
Because I think that's kind of the point of the movie. Like the fact that he had a relationship with her after the memory wipe proves that his experience from the relationship was valuable because it taught him like the lessons, or like I guess he like developed as a person during that relationship, and he's kind of been reset to how he was before, and now he just has to repeat a section of his life.
Yeah, no, but I don't mean in the sense of like him learning a lesson. I just mean in the sense of like the stakes, or like what I thought was like the most visceral stakes was that if he's unable to hide Clementine now, things are just done and she's just like gone and he won't even know like to look for her or anything. And then he failed, and so he like should pay the price of those stakes, right?
I think the price of those stakes was never that he wouldn't see Clementine again, because you see at the beginning of the movie that he always does.
Do you?
Yeah, it's the
on
first,
the train.
It's the opening scene.
Oh.
So I think that's kind of proving that you know from the start that they meet up again. What you're losing is a part of your life and experiences that you shared, and there is a value to those memories. And it's more talking about like memories themselves as having value rather than people. And what those things teach you.
I see.
Stakes were never Clementine.
I did not realized that like they had that was the second time they were meeting until the scene replayed again at the end.
Yeah, same.
I don't think you're supposed to.
I realized once you saw that modern day Clementine had blue hair, which I think was about like 3 minutes into the movie.
I forgot what color hair she had at the beginning. I couldn't remember if it was red or blue or whatever.
Yeah, I think the color grading also helped me. Same. Also, the fact that it's the second time watching the movie. True, I think this is a movie that you're supposed to watch multiple times, as many of Charlie Kaufman's movies are. I keep on calling it a Charlie Kaufman movie. He didn't direct it.
What else has Charlie Kaufman done?
I'm Thinking of Ending Things. That's the other one.
Wait. Did he also do The Puppet? Oh, I really should. Being John Malkovich.
I don't know. He might have.
Okay.
I'm not completely familiar with his filmography, but I've watched a lot of stuff and I'm Thinking of Ending Things because it is a weird movie and it has a lot of similar themes to this one. Like the idea of rotting is brought up again, time, like playing with people's memories, how reliable they are. Because like one of the characters turns out to be imaginary in that movie. Spoilers. Sorry, said that before.
Okay. So what do you guys, do you have trivia?
Trivia?
Yeah.
Do I have, like, just a book of trivia?
No, like, about the film.
Sure.
But before we do that, do you guys think that, like, you know, the tech should exist and stuff?
The what?
The technology.
Oh, being Eternal Sunshine.
Like, yeah, to be able to pay whatever, I don't know, $2,000 or whatever he paid, and then...
I don't think it was that much. Yeah. He didn't look rich. He just dropped $2,000.
When you go to Eternal Sunshine, I'm guessing that all your memories of being Eternal Sunshine get erased.
That was my point. I was thinking about this.
Mm.
Their marketing is terrible because you don't remember going to the company, so there's no word of mouth. Except, like, how are they surviving as a business?
Oh, no, they have those cards, actually.
Yeah, I guess. But then, like, the family and friends of the person, like, they're obviously going to be upset that the person was erased. That's not good marketing either.
But then because they're upset, they go and get Eternal Sunshine of them.
It's just like a cobweb.
Yeah.
I guess, but like, it's not like someone being there and be like, yeah, I had such a great experience. I forgot what the experience was.
Huh. What were you going
to
say, Hammer?
Wait, but because you know how you have to destroy all of your like photos or drawings or anything to do with the person? Because if you see them, then it might bring back memories or something.
Bring back memories. I think it's just going to confuse you.
Yeah, okay. But then if you... Okay, yeah, I guess so. Because then if you happen to just like walk past the...
Because Clementine didn't get her memories back when she full-on saw Joel at the bookstore, which you think would be the thing that brings her memory back. I think it was more just like, where did I get this and why is there a picture of me with a random guy I've never met? So why are we kissing? It's like very concerning.
Wait, so you think that, like walking past the shop wouldn't like trigger the memories either?
No.
Yeah, I guess
he described it as brain damage, didn't he? You don't get your memories back. Like, they're gone.
Yeah, it's true.
But Clementine was still like, she was still like screwed the whole movie. Like real Clementine. She was,
like emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was, it's like the feeling of like, I've lost something, I'm not sure what I lost.
Mm. Have you seen Infinity Train?
Yeah, I've seen season 1.5.
Yeah, do you know how they have tapes that like relive people's memories?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was inspired by Eternal Sunshine.
It might be.
Yeah, because it's like the same mechanism. Like people get their memories replayed to them in tapes, and it's like a cool way of doing flashbacks instead of just doing flashbacks.
I think a lot of films tend to do that.
Really?
It is like, it's playing with the meta narrative of this is a movie. And, like, you're watching your life through, like, a physical thing.
Huh.
But a lot of films have people reliving their memories through tapes.
Not necessarily. But, like, the visualization of memories as pieces of film is also quite, like, it's a reoccurring thing. Like, you know that idea of, like, someone forgetting and then, like, the film, like, burns?
Vaguely.
Kind of.
Okay, but yeah, but do you guys think the procedure should exist?
No.
No. What do you?
I guess I didn't think about it hard enough.
I read this really interesting paper on the morality of memories in relation to this movie. I searched Eternal Sunshine into Google Scholar.
God damn.
And it was talking about utilitarianism and the idea of like, obviously that's about like the biggest benefit for everyone, the avoidance of pain. And so if this procedure had no problems, like theoretically, because within the movie it's not perfect, so it was causing pain. If it was perfect, by utilitarianism, you have to go through with it because it is avoiding the most amount of pain.
For yourself?
Yes.
What about the pain caused by the person you erase?
They just get it too. But I guess it's like the sense of there isn't necessarily like a rational reason why you shouldn't get it, but just feeling the idea of like, I don't want my life to be a lie. Like, I want to actually have things be real is a valid reason.
Mm.
And it's why people are so terrified of things like The Matrix and, like, The Truman Show, which also stars Jim Carrey.
Oh my God. Yeah, that we didn't even talk about Jim Carrey.
No, it was weird.
A good performance.
At the beginning, because I was like, wait a second, is this Jim Carrey being serious?
It's weird. It's such a different performance for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only seen him in two things. Like, Truman Show is, like, fairly serious.
Yeah, he's...
He's still acting over the top.
Yeah, no, in Truman Show, it was kind of weird seeing him being serious, but it wasn't that weird. But in this one, I was, like, even doubting whether it was Jim Carrey.
Yeah, it's so unlike him.
He's really good. They should cast him.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Truman Show, he's, like, slightly off being human because, like, he's had such, like, a manufactured life, so he's like over the top smiles, over the top reactions, like it's very childlike. I think you saw Jim Carrey, as most people know him, shine during the scene where he's like a child.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that was very Jim Carrey. Yeah. And probably the most awkward part of that movie.
Loved it.
that is the most divisive part. Like, it's a lot of people's favorite moment.
Well, the bit when he's a baby.
Yeah, I found them being in the sink very odd. I was like, do you wash babies in the sink?
Yeah.
Like,
they're
dishes?
They're not like that
small. Yeah, his head was like a small section of her palm. Like, it was...
Not
it was like times 10 shrink.
They got flushed down the sink. I mean, it was so...
You found it so... You were like cackling the whole time. Like, every second he was small.
I did like the bit where he tried to beat up a child.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sad that he couldn't.
Yeah, no, because
I found it disturbing that the child thing immediately turned into a sex kink.
What? Oh.
With the strengthening with the pillow.
Oh yeah.
Just immediately from child to sex kink.
That was pretty everything everywhere all at once of it, actually.
That's why I said this movie inspired that movie.
Oh, did it?
Which is why we're watching it, because I recommended it last week.
Oh, no. What if we get stuck into like a local maximum? I don't know how to say
it. Yeah, that's why I don't want to be the person to recommend the next movie.
we just keep doing like strange memory issues.
They're all related.
Yeah.
And we forget them every week. Next week we're doing Memento.
I would love to do it, actually. But
I've never watched Memento.
We can foray into... Yeah, okay, trivia.
See, I don't know why you suddenly thought I was going to have trivia. I had the box office. It made $74 million off of a $20 million budget.
Less than Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That is, yeah, it cost less to make.
What?
Because this was made in 2004, so it's over 18 years old. I think the only thing that dates it really is the text font. It sometimes looks very old.
Well, they say it's 2003 or
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. I was like, is this like...
It seems very modern. It's made very modern.
Yeah.
It's kind of timeless.
I don't know. I could feel it was kind of... Did you see those computers? Like, that was like way worse than like Windows 95.
But there is like a thing in like media of having like weird machinery look retro.
Yeah, true.
Like the TVA in Loki.
Whoa, but wait, is it not surprising to you that it's that cheap? I was like, this is like surely way more than Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I think it's just really smart filmmaking. They don't really use anything but smart cuts and like the same locations over and over again, which is actually used to its own benefit.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's made very, very well. The budget doesn't surprise me that much. I don't really have any other trivia. I would like to ask the question of how old do you think Clem is?
Oh,
she seemed... At first I thought she was way younger than...
She doesn't seem to be by the end of the movie. It's really weird.
Yeah, by the end she seemed kind of the same.
But she was so serious in the last scene of the movie. Like, I mean, when she was... Yeah, yeah.
But this is my favourite part of the movie on a rewatch, is its exploration of, like, femininity and the idea that his memories of Clem, which is what we see for most in the movie... is not the real Clementine.
Oh.
It's absolutely not. And when she's acting in like what is actually a real memory, she is much more serious. She's angry. She has her own wants and needs. Whereas as soon as she's pulled away from that, she becomes like factitious. is fictitious, there we go, there's the word, version, which is the manic pixie dream girl.
Interesting.
Of I'm not going, he says, like, I thought you were going to solve my life, like solve my problems, and he still views her through that light, whereas she never was that. She needs to be treated as a person, which she's not by him. So her being more serious in the real world versus what you see for most of the movie is kind of the point of that, like, duality, and their relationship being kind of false in a general sense was that neither of them saw the real partner, especially Joel. I mean, he's our main character. He's the only one we really see. It's hinted at that Clem also thought that he was going to fix her in some kind of way.
And you don't think it gets better after?
I think they learnt no lessons, and therefore it's just going to repeat again.
Huh. I imagine then they both get erased again.
Do you think do you think Mary gets fired from her job for leaking all those tapes?
She went out of the box.
Is that, like, legal? Like, isn't that, like, doctors or, like, if you're at...
She was a receptionist.
Yeah.
You can just say, I quit.
And leak a bunch of tapes.
That might be a legal overstep unless she was calling... What is it? Were you, like, step in? A flagging or something? I've almost called. Whistleblowing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was some excellent memory of you right there.
Yeah, I know. It's almost as if there's not another person.
Okay, cool. Okay, I also
remembered Stan's name.
Okay, that's our time.
Oh, yes. Thank you for listening. Well, how do I end this?
We have to say final rankings.
Oh, yeah, final thoughts. I mean, also thank you for listening. I like this movie. I think it's smarter on a rewatch. I think it says some really interesting things about the female experience and its viewership through media. And I like the filmmaking. I think it's an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, I thought you said you hate ratings.
Yes, but now I'm doing them because I felt under pressure.
I'm okay to not do ratings. But...
Okay, fine. I say recommend. I don't know why this film is giving me number vibe ratings, but...
Okay,
it's an 8.5. The last one doesn't get a rating.
Okay, Hammer?
I liked it from, like, the story point of view and the things that it said. I didn't really so much like it from an artistic point of view.
It's interesting.
If you know what I mean. Like, I didn't so much like the style of filming. But I enjoyed, like, the story. For example, like, if it were a book or something, then it would be really good. But the stuff, like the film side of it, I don't think
I'd understand this if this was a book.
But yeah, overall, I liked it. Once I, like, worked out what was going on, even when I didn't know what was going on, it was still fun. But I'd say, I don't know if I'd recommend it out of the blue. But if someone liked, for example, like Being John Malkovich or something, then I would recommend it.
Yeah, I think I always recommend this movie and then I forget that there's that weird kid scene. Like, there's way more, like, weird stuff in there than I remember.
It gave me very similar to Being John Malkovich vibes. Probably the most similar movie I've ever seen to that. It's probably in part due to its time frame. But overall, I loved it. I was, like, so invested from, like, the second it started. I, like, loved the plot. I loved the, like, conflict. My, like, gripe about, like, the stakes and stuff is, like, minor. Yeah, so rating is like 9.7. Are we doing more than 0.5?
9.215 potatoes out of bananas. I don't know. It's so arbitrary.
High nine.
Okay. I feel like the number rating, I'm going to like switch between doing them because I feel like some movies like I can stick down and other ones I'm like, this is weird. I'm not rating this.
Okay.
I don't know why this one is giving me number vibes. It might be because of all the computers in it. I'm like, it needs a number. How are we picking the next movie? Do you want to all just go around?
Should we go around and recommend? Supposed to do it here. Because
what we did last time was we also recommended a movie based off this one. I'm going to recommend Blade Runner 2049.
I'm going to recommend Being John Malkovich.
I am going to also recommend Being John Malkovich.
Copy.
Do you want to watch that one next?
No.
Okay.
Wait, we should jump genre, right?
Yeah, we should do something.
Oh, yeah, let's do a spin-off.
Are we doing a German expressionist film next time?
We can. I don't think anyone's going to watch it.
Oh, you don't want to gamble our viewer base so soon.
True, yeah.
Should we choose like a really popular movie? Oh my god, is anyone seeing Black Panther this weekend actually?
Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Can you watch it?
Well, it's not out yet. You can't watch it yet.
Can you watch it without watching it's not going to be available for me and Hammer to watch.
Oh, you're not going out of school this weekend?
No.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah, R.I.P.
I'm leaving to watch that movie.
Wow.
I'm a big Marvel fan.
Okay, yeah, I'd do it if we could watch it.
But you can't, so we can't.
Yeah. We could do Black Panther.
The original?
Yeah. I'm like, a part of me is like so unbothered to watch it, but like...
It's kind of uninteresting of a movie, to be honest. If you just look at it in isolation, it's another average Marvel movie.
Okay. Maybe
it's got interesting surrounding context because it's culturally important, but I don't know if I mean we can watch it if you want.
No. Okay, maybe we have to pick off air because we're running out of time.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, thank you everybody for watching.
Bye. Sorry, that's so abrupt.